Faithful and loyal to Ghana, my motherland, I pledge myself to the service of Ghana with all my strength and with all my heart. I promise to hold in high esteem our heritage won for us through the blood and toil of our fathers. And I pledge myself in all things to uphold and defend the good name of Ghana, so help me God.
The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Sally Bosman. In the headlines, President Mills delivers State of the Nation address amidst high expectations. Government to source funds to make N1 highway footbridges disability friendly. Nationwide biometric voter registration begins from 24th of next month. 6 people killed in motor accident on Kumasi Bibiani Road. Amnesty International concerned about threats posed by armed militias in Libya and Syria to hold referendum on new draft constitution.
Radio Ghana News, bringing you fair, accurate, regional and global news. We are social.
Today marks a very significant day on the national calendar as President John Evans Atta Mills delivers his State of the Nation address before Parliament. It will be his fourth and last sessional address before his first term in office officially ends on January 7, 2013. The address is particularly important as it heralds growing signs of an uncompromising campaign for election 2012. So, what are the people's expectations, and do they think President Mills has delivered on his promises as contained in last year's address? Gloria Anderson finds out for Radio Ghana.
The State of the Nation address fulfills Article 67 of the Constitution, which states that the President shall at the beginning of each session of Parliament and before a dissolution of Parliament deliver to Parliament a message on the State of the Nation. The Executive Director of the Institute of Democratic Governance, Dr. Emmanuel Akwete, weighs the importance of this constitutional obligation.
It's extremely important. It's a statutory requirement, but its function is to enable the President to account for what he has done in the previous years and to set out his plans for this new year. But not only that, in the address, he's able to tell us about progress we are making collectively as a nation, what the challenges are, how he intends to tackle them, and what kind of support he needs from us and from our friends and partners globally.
President Mills, in last year's address, focused on the construction of roads, measures to end schools and the trees by building more schools, improving wages of public sector workers, improving the health sector, tackling corruption, and the investigation of the disappearance of cocaine from the police vault.
A social democratic government such as ours gains nothing politically by increasing petroleum prices. It is, however, our duty to find a real and lasting solution to the toll debt. Even as we watch with some amount of trepidation at the rising crude oil prices on the world market, it is the intention of government to ensure that relevant, completed and ongoing policy reforms will be duly merged with the constitutional review exercise so that we can have a product which is holistic and reflective of our common heritage as Ghanaians.
Discussions after the delivery of the address followed two predictable directions. Many said the address did not fall short of expectations because they wanted the President to account for what he has done as listed in the previous addresses. MPP's Arthur Kennedy wants the President to touch on job creation, the fight against armed robbery, and what he plans to do in the twilight of his first term in office.
It will be important for him to touch on job creation for ordinary Ghanaians under his government. He should be able to touch on poverty reduction that has occurred under his government, if any of that has occurred. People think the living conditions have gotten harder. There is a perception that corruption has gotten worse, as exemplified by the Wyoming case. I hope you address that.
PNC's Bernard Mona urges the President to state his stand on the proposed one-time premium for health insurance as well as corruption.
The state of our nation is that in which
politics of insult have taken center stage. It is important for the president to talk about it and to probably indicate his abhorrence at the state and degeneration, particularly in our political discourse. It's also important for the president to talk about issues of malfeasance, malpractices, misappropriation, and to a larger extent, corruption that is being speculated here and there, and to tell us what practical steps he's taking to overturn and to ensure that individuals do not benefit at the expense of the larger majority of our nation.
The Christian Council of Ghana is worried about danger signs the elections bring and expect the president to state categorically what he will do to ensure peace. Dr. Fred Digby is the General Secretary.
Well, we want to know how far he has led us as a country, but we also will expect to hear things about how this country can be united as we work through an election, how the challenges will be met. We still have challenges with education, with our healthcare system. We want to know how far we've come and how we will go along into next year.
PPP's Richard Niama said the president must list the problems facing the nation and provide concrete solutions to them.
Basically, there are a lot of challenges confronting Ghana as a nation, and I want to hear the president talk about solutions this time around. Our president should admit the challenges in the country, which include, first of all, graduate unemployment, high cost of living, our poor road infrastructure in many parts of the country, which is preventing business investors from going to invest over there. We should come out with practical solutions. For example, how to solve the unemployment situation in Ghana. Today, we have graduate unemployment going up, but we still create more universities without creating jobs. And I wonder where these graduates who are coming from those universities are going to get jobs to do. I want to hear the president talk about how to create jobs, how to solve the graduate unemployment, how to create equality in the system. I also want to hear the president talk about how we are going to conduct a peaceful, credible election in 2020.
The CPP think the address must focus on the state of the people. They think the address will follow the same trend where governments pat themselves on the back for no job done. It is expected that President Mills will reassure the nation of ensuring a peaceful, transparent and credible general elections on December 7th this year. It is also hoped that the presidential state of the nation address will be discussed dispassionately, devoid of partisan politics.
Gloria Anderson. President Mills has, on behalf of his government and people of Ghana, expressed gratitude to officials of the Millennium Challenge Corporation, MCC, and former President George Bush for supporting Ghana's development efforts with $547 million under the first Millennium Challenge Compact. He was also happy that Ghana has been enlisted for a second compact to be used in the energy sector. President Mills said this when the executives of MCC, led by the chief executive Daniel Yohannes, paid a courtesy call on him at the Castle of Sue. President Mills praised the chief executive of the Millennium Development Authority, MIDA, Martin Isson Benjamin, and board members for working diligently to meet the five-year duration of the program. This, he said, is a testimony of the resilience of the Ghanaian to give of his or her best when provided with the logistics to work.
I would also like, on behalf of the people of Ghana, to express our gratitude to the government and people of the U.S. for the confidence that they have reposed in us by giving us compact number one and compact number two. And I'm really happy that we've been able to complete compact number one. But the credit goes to the chairman, members, CEO, leader, because they worked so hard. They were very conscious of the deadline that they had been given. And I'm really happy that they have shown that once you get the right people, there's nothing that you cannot do. But this compact also underscores the kind of relationship that exists between Ghana and the U.S. Indeed, we feel highly honored and privileged to be considered for a compact two. But let me say that compact one has made a great difference in our lives. You must have seen the hundreds of people who are lined the street cheering. It's a long time since I saw something like that in Ghana. They were cheering over a project which has made a difference in their lives.
President Mills The CEO of MCC, Daniel Yohannes, praised the government and people of Ghana for continuing to be trailblazers for others. He said the success of Ghana's program and its impact on the people has enabled the country to qualify for a second compact. Mr. Yohannes thanked President Mills for supporting the program and ensuring its success.
I want to extend our congratulations to you. I also want to thank you for your support and leadership in getting the first compact completed on time. The projects were very complex. They were not simple, but you did it the Ghanaian way. So I just want to thank you again, and may the Ghanaians benefit from the investments that have been made for many, many years to come. In addition to successfully completing the first compact, Ghana was selected eligible for a second compact. And Ghana was also selected eligible for the Partnership for Growth, where we only have four countries that have been selected to participate in the program. So I just want to tell you that we live today with great admiration and with great hope for this beautiful country, for its prosperity, and also for being a great model of democracy and stability for Africa. So I just want to thank
CEO of the MCC, Daniel Yohannes. Earlier, President Mills and former President Ejikum Kufuor jointly inaugurated the Tete Kwashi Malam Highway in Accra. The N1 highway was constructed at a cost of $173 million from the Millennium Challenge Corporation of the U.S. President Mills congratulated his predecessor and dedicated the project to all Ghanaians. A correspondent said the awards at the ceremony.
The N1 highway, now George Wakabush Highway, is to facilitate rapid transportation of goods and services to the Tema Harbour and the Kotoka International Airport. It also forms part of the Trans-West African Highway project. The highway was completed in 30 months. President Mills was happy that the project has finally been completed and handed over after receiving scathing attacks from a cross-section of the public because of the inconveniences they were going through.
I am happy for two main reasons. The first one is that President Ejikum Kufuor agreed to be here this afternoon. As you know, he initiated this project, and you give credit where it's due. I've heard people argue it's NPP project, it's NDC project. They started and we finished it. The important thing is that it is a Ghana project. And let us remember that we are one people with a common destiny. This road is going to be used by all, whether you are NPP, NDC, XYZ or not. But my second reason for being happy is that during the construction of this road, the volume of insults that I received could very well have drowned me. Thank God the insults have ceased.
President Mills said Ghana's democratic credentials and economic success formed the basis for the U.S. assistance.
What we are witnessing is evidence of the strong bonds of friendship between Ghana and the U.S. There were reasons behind the choice of Ghana for the Millennium Challenge account from Act 1. This is because we share the same democratic values as the United States. We strive for good governance, democracy, rule of law, accountability, and transparency. And I'm happy that we have proved our American brothers and sisters right, because they can see for themselves that we have utilized the funds that they made available to us to their own satisfaction.
President Mills cautioned those who have been compensated not to encroach the open spaces around the highway.
My appeal is that we observe the traffic regulations. We should respect one another as motorists. This road looks good today, but will it continue to look good over the period?
The answer lies within the hearts of road users. I've received information that some of our compatriots who were resettled and compensated are thinking of encroaching upon the land that has been left for future development. I want to ask them to desist from this, because they will not have it easy. What is right is right, and what is wrong was wrong.
Former President Kufuor, who jointly unveiled and opened the highway with President Mills, urged Ghanaians to uphold the tenet of democracy.
This project is as a result of good governance. Good governance. It was good governance that qualified Ghana to benefit by the huge grant. Good governance, investment in people, and also promoting the private sector. In a way, it was institutionalizing the public-private partnership. This is how to develop. And I hope the whole of Ghana is going to benefit.
How excited are you?
I am very excited.
President Mills and other officials drove to the Malam end of the road. Says Aya, reporting for Radio Ghana.
The government is accessing a facility from Austria to erect footbridges with ramps along the N1 highway to make it disability-friendly. The Minister of Roads and Highways, Jogi Dissuhu, made this known so the motoring public can also help to make the road friendly to the disabled by respecting traffic regulations. He noted that the completion of the N1 highway will improve the network of highways needed in the city and limit the time and cost of traveling. Ms. Ekitisu was speaking to Kingsley of Intre on Behind the News.
Now it takes just about 15 to 20 minutes on the highway, thereby limiting the travel time, which invariably or equally affect the cost of traveling along the corridor.
There is this issue, and it was a serious concern for those living with one disability or the other about being able to even cross the roads. And this is not the first time they are raising such concerns, but it's been completed without perhaps having all these concerns been taken into consideration.
Their complaints have been taken on board. We are trying to address them or have addressed them in a way. Though you may not immediately see those signs there, it has been programmed. There are going to be traffic signaling at the following points: Jaulu, La Paz Junction, Namiche, Washiman, and then as well as Awoshi Junction. With this traffic light regulatory points, there will be signal points for the disabled to easily cross over. However, we are equally accessing a facility from Austria to construct wood bridges at various points in the metropolis, including the stretch along the N1, whereby would be directing foot bridges which will have those ramps that will make it user-friendly to these disabled.
Across the nation, do we have anything in place to ensure that the people with disability are able to cross easily, whether holding a white cane or perhaps sitting in a wheelchair?
Yes, you know, it all depends on the discipline we have on our road. Without the corresponding discipline among motorists in particular, it may be another death trap that we may be setting for these our brothers and sisters. There is a need to inject a greater discipline in the motoring public.
Minister of Roads and Highways, Jogi Dissuhu, talking to Kingsley of Intre. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana Accra. The major stories: President Mills delivers State of the Nation address amidst high expectations. Government to source funds to make N1 highway footbridges disability friendly. Nationwide biometric voter registration begins from 24th of next month. 6 people killed in motor accidents on Kumasi Bibiani Road. Amnesty International concerned about threats posed by armed militias in Libya and Syria to hold referendum on new draft constitution. Please don't go away.
Radio Ghana News, bringing you fair, accurate, regional and global news. We are social.
You're welcome back. The Electoral Commission will undertake biometric voter registration of all eligible persons, including prisoners, from March 24 to May 5 this year. The registration will take place in all regions and districts at the same time, and it will be a complete replacement of the existing voters register and thereby render any previous voter registration invalid for the purposes of voting in the December elections. The chairman of the EC, Dr. Kwejo Afarijan, announced this at a lecture organized by the Editors Forum in Accra. Ruth Ajolulu has the details.
Under the biometric voter registration, the 10 fingerprints and photographs of every eligible voter will be taken. Registration will be taken at registration centers, which will serve as polling stations during the elections, in line with the basic principle of where you register is where you vote. Dr. Afarijan admitted that 7,000 digital registration kits are not enough for registration to be done in each of the 23,000 polling stations at the same time. In the circumstance, the polling stations in each district have been grouped in clusters. Each cluster consists of four polling stations. A team of six persons will be responsible for the registration of voters in each cluster. The team will spend 10 days at each polling station before moving to the next. The registration period will last 40 days. Dr. Afarijan said a registered voter will be issued on the spot with an identity card embossed with his or her picture and a barcode containing the ID number. He said if biometric voter registration is done well, a person's name will occur only once in the entire voter register. Any multiple voter registration anywhere in Ghana will be found out through a full search of the fingerprints and photograph of a registered voter. Dr. Afarijan, however, pointed out that the digital registration kits will not know the difference between the fingerprint of a Ghanaian and that of a foreigner, or between the fingerprints of an adult and that of a minor. It is only through vigilance that the registration of foreigners could be prevented. Dr. Afarijan announced that so far, the EC has received 134.7 million Ghana cedis from government, and because of the timely release of funds, the delivery of equipment and other materials, the Commission is now in the position to undertake a biometric voter registration of all eligible voters, including prisoners in all regions and districts at the same time from the 24th of March to the 5th of May. The exercise will completely replace the existing voters register and thereby nullify the previous voter card. The president of the Editors Forum Ghana, Ajoye Buafari, underlined the need for media practitioners to understand electoral issues and educate the electorate appropriately. This was echoed by the chairman of the Media Commission, Kabel Ble Amihie, who also asked journalists not to trivialize issues of election or subject them to unnecessary sensationalism.
Ruth Ajolulu's report. The Minister of Youth and Sports, Clement Kofi Humado, says the National Youth Policy has been a crucial blueprint for government in tackling challenges facing the youth in the country. He said the policy now provides a guiding framework that coordinates activities of all agencies and stakeholders involved in youth development. The minister says this at the launch of the 60th anniversary of Bishop Herman College in Accra. A report by Rita Nyako.
The Youth and Sports Minister said government considers the youth as a crucial segment of society who deserves serious attention. He said government will continue to invest in the youth in order to harness their God-given potential for the achievement of the Better Ghana agenda. The minister said in order to develop a quality all-round student, the education sector needs to implement educational programs that are not only focused on core academic subjects, but also include programs on life skills and leadership development. He said core curricular school programs that are properly structured will enable graduating students to easily face the challenges of life and help them to contribute towards the development of the country. He said future leaders need to have quality leadership training right from their youth in order to develop a lifelong positive attitude towards society.
Rita Nyakun's report. Ghana is developing mechanisms to check tax evasion by multinational enterprises. The Minister of Finance, Ministry of Finance, in collaboration with the Ghana Revenue Authority and stakeholders in the financial sector, are deliberating on a draft regulation that will prevent multinational enterprises from manipulating the prices of their imports with a view to reducing the taxes they should pay. An action plan has been drafted by the Ministry of Employment and Social Welfare to help raise productivity and reduce the risk of household enterprises. This follows a report on the informal enterprises by the Ministry and the World Bank. The Deputy Minister, Enchibuisi Akunsetue, said the informal economy of Ghana constitutes about 84% of active labor, whose income depends on money raised from household enterprises. However, most of the people involved in these businesses do not have a place to operate with the right infrastructure, hence the study. Mr. Enchibuisi Akunsetue said this in a message at a stakeholders meeting in Accra. Six people, including a two-year-old boy, died when a Hyundai minibus on which they were traveling got involved in an accident at the Bariabon Junction on the Kumasi-Bibiani Road. The dead bodies have been deposited at the Konfanochi Teaching Hospital in Kumasi. Eight passengers suffered various degrees of injuries and are receiving treatment at the Konfanochi Teaching Hospital. The bus reportedly hit a taxi before crashing into an articulated truck which was parked on the road. Personnel from the Ghana National Fire Service had to cut through the damaged bus to remove the dead and the injured passengers. The Nyinahin District Police Commander, DSP Ernest Fusu, who confirmed the accident to newsmen, said the bus was travelling from Kumasi to Bibiani, and on reaching the Bariabon Junction, a taxi driver failed to observe oncoming vehicles and hit the taxi before crashing into the parked truck. DSP Fusu said the driver of the bus, Atajiman, was among those who died. We'll be back.
Radio Ghana News, bringing you fair, accurate, regional and global news. We are Total.
Ugandan Prime Minister Amama Mbabazi has called on political parties on the continent to use democratic means to seek power so they can bring development to their countries. He said the practice whereby opposition parties decide to challenge election results through demonstrations is unacceptable and must be avoided. The Prime Minister said this at a media briefing in Accra as part of his three-day visit to the country. Amnesty International says armed militias are threatening the security and stability of Libya. In a report, the human rights group says at least 12 detainees held by militias died after being tortured from September last year. The report is being released to coincide with the first anniversary tomorrow of the revolts that toppled Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi. Last month, the UN said about 8,000 pro-Gaddafi supporters were being held by militia groups. The interim government has said it is trying to reassert authority, but has failed to rein in the groups. According to Amnesty, some former rebels are committing human rights violations with impunity and checks by the interim government. Syrian President Bashar al-Assad has decreed that a referendum on the new draft constitution will be held on the 26th of this month. The document drops the article that gives the ruling Ba'ath Party unique status as a leader of state and society. The opposition says it rejects any political moves by the government, while there are still violent attacks against protesters. Earlier, an explosion hit a fuel pipeline in the central city of Homs. Activists said the pipeline carries crude oil from the Rumelia fields in the eastern Syrian desert to the Homs refinery, one of two in the country. The main oil pipeline was targeted several times during the uprising against President Assad, which began in March. And now to end the news, the main points again. President John Evans Atta Mills will deliver the State of the Nation address before Parliament this morning. It will be his fourth and last sessional address before his first term in office officially ends on January 7, 2013. The Minister of Roads and Highways, Rugi Bisu, says government is accessing a facility from Austria to erect footbridges with ramps along the N1 highway to make it disability-friendly. The Electoral Commission will undertake a biometric voter registration of all eligible persons, including prisoners, from March 24 to May 5 this year. The registration will take place in all regions and districts at the same time. The chairman of the EC, Dr. Kwizera Farijan, announced this at a lecture organized by the Editors Forum in Accra. 6 people have been killed in a motor accident on the Kumasi-Pipeni Road. Amnesty International says armed militias are threatening the security and stability of Libya. In a report, the human rights group says at least 12 detainees held by militias died after being tortured from September last year. And Syrian President Bashar al-Assad has decreed that a referendum on the new draft constitution will be held on the 26th of this month. The news was presented by Sally Bosman in Accra.